Welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church today. So good to have you. I trust that you shook somebody's hand. Praise the Lord. Yes, we want to be a friendly church, a church where everybody loves everybody, shakes hands with people. Yes, praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, goodness. Praise the Lord. Well, we've had so many testimonies this week, I can't even think of them all. Wow, what a week. What a problem to have. You know, I was talking to a young lady this last week, and she told me, she says, you know, since I've been associated with this ministry, I've heard y'all say over and over, different ones of you, that you have heard God's voice.
Amen.
And she said, so I asked my father, which is a Baptist preacher, have you ever heard God's audible voice? And he says, no, and I don't think anybody else has either. So I prayed for him that, Lord, you will speak to that man and you'll let him know that you do speak to people, and he speaks many ways, not just one way. I mean, you know, God, he's more diversified than that, you know. But before I was going to have a great testimony here in a few minutes, because Bill's going to give us a great testimony. But before he gives us this great testimony about what he and what they did this week, and I mean, they got a great one, I want to ask this question, and I want y'all to look around. First of all, I want to know, how many of you in this room know beyond a shadow of a doubt you are a Christian? You believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Okay. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is your Lord, and that you have accepted him as your Savior, and if something happens and you die, you're going to heaven. You know that, right?
Amen.
Yeah, but the reason I asked that question is because we went to a viewing. One of the ladies that used to work with us for years, her brother, which was 72, he had a little dizziness the other morning, and he didn't feel real good, so they took him down to the hospital, and he passed out, and that was it. He's over, gone. 72 years old, and he, you know, we went to the viewing Friday night, and there his 72-year-old body's laying there with no spirit in it. It's gone. So he's dead. Now, if I can only say that's the best way to go. You know, you don't have to go to a hospital. You don't have to go to a doctor. You just hang it up and go home to be with Jesus. That's the way I want it to work for me. But I just want to make sure that all of you here know that Jesus, because, you know, he didn't have time to talk about it much. You know, he just went down there and they said, what's wrong with you? And he said, well, I got the feeling of kind of woozy earlier today, kind of like I'm feeling right now. And all of a sudden, he just fell over on the floor. And it was over. His life was gone. Don't take long to die, does it, Tony? Boy, it can be quick and can be sudden, you know, so we don't want to tell people, oh, everything's okay, you can wait till next Sunday or next month or whatever. You don't want to wait till next month, do you, Mary? I mean, if you don't know Jesus today, you want to know Jesus today, right? Absolutely, because none of us were promised another day. But anyway, since we went there and saw him, and then before we take Bill's testimony, I want to ask a couple of questions. How many of you in this room now, I'm talking now about audible. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt you heard God speak to you. How many of you have had that in your life? Okay, wow, that's a bunch of you. Now I'm telling you, it's kind of like it was when I was asked to come speak at the Bill Gothard Conference in 2004, I believe it was. Bill Gothard has a huge ministry, but it doesn't operate in the gift of miracles. He heard about one of the guys that come from his healing school or come from his place to my healing school and got healed. And then he began to talk to him about me. And he called me one day and wanted to know how I got people healed. I told him I used the word of God. The word. The word. Just exactly what Dave was talking about a while ago, right? The word. God sent his word and healed us. Is that what he said? So anyway, I told him I used the word, and he says, So anyway, we talked about that at great length, and then One day we're driving down the road in a little red car with two guys in the front seat and me and Bill in the back seat. And he says, "Thurman, I've heard you say many times you've heard the audible voice of God." I said, "Yes, I have many times." He said, "You know, I've been in ministry 50 years. And I have never heard that authoritative or audible voice of God." So I said, he said, "In fact, I don't know anybody besides you that's ever heard it." I said, "Well, Bill, let me ask you a question. Have you ever asked anybody if you've ever heard the audible voice of God?" He said, "I guess I haven't." I said, "Well, we got two guys here driving the car. One guy driving, one guy sitting here in the front seat." I said, "Guys, let me ask y'all a question. Have either one of you men ever heard the authoritative, audible voice of God?" And the driver said, "I have." The other guy said, "I have not." I said, "Oh." I said, "How many times have you heard it?" He says, "Once." I said, "Oh, wow." I said, "Would you mind sharing with us what the Lord shared?" He said, "No, I'd be happy to." So he told us exactly what happened. And it's amazing, since that happened to him, it didn't happen to me. I don't remember what he said. So that's not a problem. But we go on up to the seeing that whenever God speaks to you, you remember. I mean, it burned indelibly into your spirit, right, Lord? So anyway, we go on up to where we're getting ready for the teaching that morning. And of course, there's two beautiful young ladies, about 20, 21, 22, somewhere along there, in the studio there, that's trying to make me and Bill look a little better with the makeup. You know how they do that? So anyway, we sit down there in those two chairs, and those girls are making us up. And I said, "Oh, by the way, girls," I said, "both of you girls know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" Now, they work for Bill Gothard, so I'm assuming the answer is going to be yes. And it was. And they said, both said, "Yes, we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior." I said, "Have either one of you girls ever heard God's audible voice?" Immediately, one of the girls said, "I have." The other one said, "I have not." I said, "Now, Bill, look at this. Just from driving down the road in the car, two of the men that was in the car with us, one of them had heard God's audible voice, one of them had not. We come up here and park and come in here and sit down in a chair. One of these girls has and one of them has not." So I said, "Isn't that amazing, the number of people?" And he said, "You know, it's amazing how that all of a sudden now you're seeing people everywhere that's heard God speak to them, and I'd never heard of anybody until now." And he said, "Veronica," he knew her. He said, "Veronica, would you mind sharing? How many times have you heard God's voice?" She says, "Twice." And he said, "And you're only 20 years old." He said, "Would you mind telling me what happened?" And she said, "I'll be happy to, sir." Said, "I was 4 years old. I had been put to bed and I was laying in my bed. And I'm laying there trying to go to sleep at four. And I hear a voice, 'Veronica, Veronica.' So she said, I jumped out of my bed and I ran down the hallway and run up to my daddy's bed and said, 'Daddy, did you call me?' He said, 'No, honey, I never said a word.' 'But Daddy, I heard you.' He said, 'Honey, I didn't say a word.' So she said, 'Daddy takes me back down, puts me in bed, hugs me and gives me a little goodnight kiss and tells me to go to sleep.' So I lay there and I'm laying there a few minutes and all of a sudden I hear, 'Veronica, Veronica.' So she said, 'I know that's my daddy's voice.' So I jump up and I run down to the room. I said, 'Daddy, you called me again?' And he said, 'Honey, would you please go to bed? I didn't say a word.'" Now Bill Gothard is listening to this. This girl's telling this story. And so she said, so I go back down and I get in my bed and I'm laying there thinking, I know I heard a voice. And all of a sudden, I hear a voice says, 'Veronica, Veronica.' And I said, 'Who is calling my name?' 'Veronica, it's God.' 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' 'It's time for you to accept me as your Lord and Savior at four." So she crawls off to the side of the bed and asks Jesus to come into her heart at four. Bill said, "That's the most awesome story I ever heard." Said, "You should have been telling everybody this, girl." She said, "Nobody ever asked me." Sometimes you don't get answers if you don't ask. People just don't go around saying, "I heard God's voice," unless you're me. Me, I go around telling people all about, hey, I heard God's voice. He spoke to me. Let me tell you what he said. You know why I do that? I want people to know that the God that we serve does talk. And he tells us great and wonderful things. And I've heard his voice so many times, and you can't put him in a box. So anyway, as we talk together over the next 3 months, as all of you know, that when I went out to speak that morning and made God's Power, the teaching that we have back there on CD called God's Power, that's a one-hour teaching. And that is probably one of the most anointed teachings that I've ever done. When I have a man sitting here on the front at a healing school from Kansas the other day, said my wife handed me that CD and told me, said, honey, would you please listen to this? He said, I'll listen to it. And said, after I listened to it one time, I listened to it again and again. And he said, I've now listened to God's Power 35 times. And he said, I love that teaching. And he said, I carry those teachings with me and I give one to every man I know. And his wife said, you know why he gives it to every man? I said, I have no idea. She said, my husband was a great man of God all the years I've known him. He's been a great husband, a good man. A woman couldn't want to ask for a better husband than my husband. He's a great man. But she said, when he listened to God's Power, she said, he became a super great man. He's not just a good man anymore. He's super great. He said, Thurman, I knew God and how real God was, but when I listened to that CD, I began to realize he's standing right there and living right in there, and he's listening to everything I do. And so said, I want to be a better husband to my wife. I want to be a better man to the people around me. He said, I want to be a man that demonstrates who God and his love is. And now, if I can make something that will touch men like that, I want to do that. Isn't that a good thing to do, Tony? I love making things that will touch men's heart. I mean, even Franz told me one time. I'll tell you how it happened. One Saturday night, Cheryl and I went out to eat with a couple. And when we got back to the airport, my phone rang, and it was Franz. He was on the phone. He said, Thurman, I need you to pray for me. I have a tumor underneath my tongue. And he said, it looks awful. In fact, he said, I panicked when I saw it, when I felt it, and I started to go to the doctor, and I thought, how many times have I heard you say, give Jesus first chance? Don't go to a doctor first. Go to Jesus first. Is that what you told me, Franz? Right. So anyway, he said, so I need you to pray for me, sir. And said, when I first saw this thing under my tongue, I thought I better go get my will and everything all up to date because I'm probably ready to go home. He said, it looked that bad. So when he called me, I told him, I said, well, I want you to remit your sins. He said, I've got all my sins confessed. I know that. So he said, I've already done that. I've confessed all my sins. I said, okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, I remit my sins. I remit my wife's sins. And this couple that's in this car with us, I remit their sins. And now, Lord, I'm asking you to wash all of us in the blood. And then when he washes us in the blood, he can, amazing how he can make something so dirty get so clean with blood. But he can do that, can't he? And so I asked him to do that. So now then that I've asked the Lord for us to be clean and pure and holy, I know he heard my prayer, and I know he answered my prayer. He always does. And so then I prayed the prayer of faith for Franz, and I told him, I said, now, Franz, you're healed. I guarantee it. I'll see you at church tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I was sitting back here on the back row about 1:30, 1:45, and Franz comes walking in, comes running up to me, grabs me and hugs me and kisses me on the cheek and says, Pastor, you really know how to make Jesus real in a guy's life. I said, so what happened? He said, the tumor's completely gone today. Do we serve an awesome God, Franz?
Absolutely.
So, you know, when God does things like that, I'm glad I serve a God that does answer prayer. Oh, yeah, this last week. This I got to tell you this, and I wasn't going to tell all these things today, but there's so many good testimonies. This a lady, yeah, we come in, we'd been out to, I think it was Thanksgiving, or not Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day. Yeah, something. Anyway, we went out to eat. When we come back, of course, you know, our work is never done. So anyway, while everybody else is taking life easy, Cheryl comes in, brings me some food, said, you know, I got this lady here, she's got breast cancer, you need to call her. Okay, so I called a lady from Alabama. She's got breast cancer. I told her, I said, you know, we've got, which breast is it? And she said, the left breast. I said, okay, we have a problem with a female, you know, in the family more than likely, but you have a female member of the family that you have unforgiveness toward. She said, well, I just don't think I do. I said, well, let's just stop and think. Do you have any female that you don't get along with 100%? Maybe just a little bit of bitterness. Yes, there is one of those. I said, well, that will get it done. You can't have, when God says walk in love, it don't include a little bit of bitterness, does it?
Nope.
So I said, ma'am, if you'll repent, if you'll just repent and ask God to forgive you for that, then I'll pray the prayer of faith for you, and the God I serve will heal you. And so I said, Lord, thank you. I prayed for her. She repented. I remitted her sins. I prayed the prayer of faith for her. Then I said, Lord, thank you for this woman. And so I just started talking to her for a couple of minutes there, just praising the Lord for her healing. And all of a sudden, in my talking with her on the phone, she screamed. When she screamed, I thought something happened to her. And it did. And I said, ma'am, are you okay? She says, Thurman, I just reached up on my breast and put my hand where that knot was, and it ain't there. It's gone. Now, are we glad we serve a God that answers prayer?
Yes.
Oh, and this woman was jumping up and down and screaming and praising God and everything else. And I said, wow. She said, wow. That's what I say. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's amazing how easy it is to get a woman to be excited after something like that happens to her. And I'm on the telephone 1,000 miles away, I guess, and she's down in Alabama or wherever she was at. And God healed that woman right there over the telephone. Isn't it wonderful to serve a God that talks?
Yes.
Now then, what I would like to do, I just won't say two people, but I want just one of y'all. I want y'all to think, when did I hear God's voice? And when was it? And you're willing to share with us, and I only want it to be a 1 or 2 minute deal. I don't want you to preach. I just want you to tell me when God spoke to you and what he said and what you did. So who in here has got a testimony like that you don't mind sharing with us what God told you and that you did what he said and he did something for you? Who are we going to choose? Got lots of them, huh? Okay, let's see. Mary, you're going to give me a good short one, right? Come up here, girl. Okay. Okay, just this thing. That's amazing when I have to make a choice when there's that many different people. Turn that little button on there on the side down there.
On the side.
You see it?
On the side.
It's right. There you go. I think that's it. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, turn it on.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I first became a Christian, it was, you know, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, and that was amazing to me. And I felt, after that, I got baptized, and I felt totally clean, just different on the inside. And there was a time where I was going through something, and I didn't know what to do about it. And I got tired of going through it, and so I just decided that I had had enough. And I knelt down at the side of my bed, and I asked God, I said, what do you want me to do? And I heard his words, and he said, read my word. So I started reading his word over and over every day. I was very diligent, and he started teaching me. And then there was this one other time where I just knelt down and I said, God, I just feel like I'm just nothing. And he said, you're not just nothing. You're just nothing above anybody else.
Amen. Isn't it amazing that Mary has a God that speaks? Now then, one more person. I want one more person that's got a simple little testimony like that. Which one of you? Let me see. Who's going to? Simple little testimony. I'll let my wife do it. Okay. There's too many choices. So.
I was 26, and I was sitting there reading the Bible, and all of a sudden, this voice just started talking to me and told me that my cousin in Denver, who was 17, he said, you need to go there. He said, she's in trouble and you're going to have to go help her. He said, but when you go there, he said, there's going to be dissension in the family. Your mother's going to come against you. Your mother is going to fly up in the middle of the night and show up in Denver when you go there. And he told me, he said, as long as you remain calm, and don't get upset, don't get into anger, don't raise your voice, as long as you remain calm, you will be in control of the situation. I was like, okay. So I call up my cousin in Denver, it's my first cousin, and she was in trouble. And so I pack up all my things, and at the time I had a 19-year-old cousin live with me who was babysitting my kids when I would sing at night. So we pack up to go to Colorado, and all heck started blowing up around my household. I didn't live with my parents, but you know, my mother was very upset we were going to take the grandkids away. And so she called my other cousin's family to come from Indiana to come all the way there to go with us. And so we ended up, get to Colorado, everything's fine. And then all of a sudden, 10 o'clock, I get up and I go in the kitchen, the phone had rung, and I said, well, that was my mother on the phone. And my cousin said, how'd you know that? I said, she's at the airport. And they said, well, how did you know that? And I said, well, God told me. And so sure enough, my mother and my brother were at the airport, flew in at 10 o'clock at night unexpectedly. The next day we have a family meeting, and my mother got very upset, and everybody was upset except for the one who's 26 years old who was told to remain calm. And so I'd never raised my voice. I would just answer every question, and whatever it was they thought that I was being bad about, you know, and I wasn't being bad. But anyway, so it ended up, finally, my uncle, my dad's brother, says, well, I don't think the problem is Cheryl. I think the problem is Kay, my mother. And because she didn't want to let go of the grandkids. And so anyway, it all ended up, my mother said, well, then I'm going to take those kids away from you and threaten me. And I like I'm talking to y'all. I said, well, you know, it would be over my dead body. And I promise you, if you ever try to take my children, I will take them out of the state and you'll never see them again. Just like that. So anyway, God warned me. I got through it. We all got through it. The kids got through it. My mother got through it. Praise the Lord. And I love my mama.
Amen. Praise the Lord. A God that speaks. Now, sometimes God can just say one word, you know, but sometimes he can say something very lengthy, even like he did with Cheryl. But he told her everything that was going to happen, didn't he? And so she wouldn't get upset. So, Brother Bill, come up here and give your testimony now. I want to see what Bill's done. Some of you know that we've been trying to work with Psalms 91. Bill has seemed to be spearheading this thing, and he has done a great work this week, and I want him just to tell us what all he's doing and what God is doing with the Psalms 91 program.
You know, I'm so excited about telling this, but first, back to something that would happen real quick when I was young. I was 5 years old, and I had a sister 1 year younger and 2 years younger, so we got 5, 4, and 3. Well, anyway, the second one right under me named Connie. Well, one morning, I hit Connie. You know, kids. I hit her. And then I went into the bathroom. When I got in the bathroom, God said, don't do that anymore. I never will forget that. And I haven't hit Connie since. All right, now.
Oh, even God disciplined you on that, did he, Drill?
Oh, man.
Don't you do that anymore. Okay, praise the Lord.
No, I'll need to hold a minute. Okay, I think, so exciting that I don't even know where to start. Last Wednesday morning, early, I was invited to go to a breakfast banquet to honor one of our esteemed police ladies from the Dallas Police Department. And they do that once a month with that particular group I was with. and I was invited by one of the men that come here occasionally, John Dealey. So I went down, and everybody was dressed in suits and so forth, and so I wore my suit. Well, I sat through that because I particularly wanted to be there. The chief of police, the Dallas Force, was supposed to be there, which he was. He made a little short talk. Then there were about four or five of his assistants around him. And I thought, you know, and my purpose in being there primarily was to get to be able to talk to the chief of police because I wanted to let him know that I wanted to place these cards at the different at his police station, and they could tell me how many we needed. Okay. We went through the whole breakfast and the whole thing, and when the policeman, the chief talked, he said, I may have to leave a little early because we've had some things happen last night. We had five cars broken into and so forth. So I went ahead and sat there, and finally the affair ended. The chief was gone, and I walked over to the assistant chief, and I told him who I was, and he said that he would get back with me, and he hasn't yet. And so anyway, I drove on home, and I felt like, well, it was a nice breakfast, and we met a lot of nice people standing around, but that was about it. So I got home, and I said, Betty, I said, we got to travel. I said, we're going to start out. We're going to Abilene. I know the chief of police in Abilene, and I said, and then the president of the Texas Police Association is in Sweetwater, Texas, and so that Sweetwater is 35 miles from Abilene. Well, by this time, when we get packed and so forth, it's about 10:30, 11 o'clock, and I think we left around noon. Wasn't it around noon? I think so. And we got out there about 3:30 or 4, and I drove straight to the Abilene Police Department. We'd lived out there a couple of years, about 5 years ago, and I went to the police department, and there was some sheriff standing outside. It turned out that the sheriff's department and the police department are next to each other. So I went up to these fellas and I said, hey, guys, can I talk to you, man? Sure, sure. You know, when you're an older man, then these people, they're nice to you. I thought that was the reason.
Amen.
And so anyway, they're respectful. Turned out they were very nice men. And so I asked them how many men they had in their unit, and they told me, I think 103 or something like that. And then I went inside of the police department. The police chief, Stan Standridge, said, I know, wasn't there. He was gone. But I did find an officer that was there, and I was able to get leave 200 cards there and told him what I was doing and so forth and how it came about that God had put it on my heart. So then I said, well, we still got time to get to Sweetwater. That was my main objective because I wanted to talk, if I could, in April to the police Chiefs Association down in the Woodlands, down close to Houston. So when we got over to Sweetwater, I went there. Turned out nobody was there except just the dispatcher. And there's a real sweet lady, a Christian lady too. And I told her who I was, what I was doing, and I had some cards with me, and I had some the little crosses with me that Cheryl had made available to me. I left 33 cards there, but the chief wasn't there, so I said, well, we'll spend the night here. Checked in Holiday Inn Express, spent the night, and she said, he'll be here in the morning. I'll have him call you. I said, okay, good. That didn't happen. He didn't call. I called twice. By 10:30, 11 o'clock, I said, well, Lord, I said, this is a pattern, it looks like. It's developing. I'm just going on. Well, I went down the street. We got in the car, and we passed a DPS location on the right side, and looked like kind of a small place. So I went to the back of the car, and I keep these cards in the back, and I just grabbed a handful. I went in the door, and sure enough, there was nobody there except just a dispatcher. And I said, okay. I said, I went through my talk with them, told them about what we were doing and how it was a burden on our hearts, and we developed this ministry and this lady. And I said, how many officers do you have here? And she said, we've got 15. And I said, okay, so we counted. I had 15 cards. And I said, well, that worked out good, you know. So anyway, after that happened, I took about a mile and a half around the curve, was the sheriff's office. Bigger building, ought to have more people in there. So I went to the car, and I got out. Whoops. I got out what I thought was, excuse me, thank you, what I thought would be 15 cards, and enough cards to handle more people. And I walked inside, and there was about, oh, I guess this was a lady dispatcher that came out. She was in a uniform, very nice-looking officer. In her uniform, oh, they do it. They're handsome-looking people when they've got their uniforms on. They're crisp, and they, you know, it just kind of impresses you. I can still see her face right now. And so we talked a little bit, and I explained to her what I was doing, and she caught the vision. They all did. She was a Christian, and that always helps, you know, you find out that. That was two times I had run into people that were three, actually. But so I went ahead and started counting the cards that I grabbed out of the back of the car. And I counted 35 cards. But first I said, how many people do you have here? And she said, and she counted, she said, we need 35. I had 35 in my hand. She took every card I had. I said, wow, this is something. And this is really good because, you know, looks like God's definitely in this. I'm doing the right thing. I just, you know, you kind of feel that. Well, that went on, and then there was a third occasion where the same thing happened, and there was a town in between, and I didn't take any in. I waited to see what they had, and I came out and got them. But the next time that I went into an office, I had some with me, and that was at Snyder. I think it was Snyder. And then once, when I said, how many do you have? And they told me that I had the exact number again. Again, that was three times.
God knows how many men he's got working.
And I said, and I told this lady, I said, you know, you're helping me make some inroads I've never been through before. And if you folks don't think God knows how many pennies you got in the bank, or how much what your tithe is, or anything else connected, he is the head of the accounting firm. I can tell you, he's got it down good too. So in everything. So then, I got up to Plainview, worked my way from Snyder through Post. We stopped at Post and visited some friends we knew that have a ragtown theater up there that puts on these fabulous, fantastic Christian plays every month or so. And we stopped there to see them for a few minutes. They were rehearsing. And so left there, I told them about having that experience of those others. We got up to Plainview. We're working our way towards Amarillo, you know, and Lubbock. So we went to Lubbock, and then we got to Plainview, and I walked up to the front door of this place, and I had a sack of cards again in my hand. It could look, Plainview wasn't as big as Lubbock. They took 500 cards, 400 cards. So then when I got to this head window, nobody was there, and I knocked, and then the lady came out front. She was an officer, and I told her what I was doing. She invited me back inside, and there were eight officers sitting around the room, and it was a beautiful thing. They were just as nice. I'll tell you, you can't believe how nice all these people are. You know, I mean, they weren't stoic or anything like that. They were genteel, sweet, loving people. I mean, I'm going to put it that way. So anyway, we talked a little bit, and I told them about my mission and what God had given me, and I started talking to them about them, and in one to two cases there, I prayed with them, and prayed over the cards, of course, before we got there. And this was so easy, I can't believe how easy that it was. At the time, I couldn't. I can now because it all happened. But I got to the point, I said, by the way, I told them about the three times that it happened. I said, how many cards do you need? She said, so they all got to get their heads together. A lot of people weren't there. They said, 34 cards. And so I started peeling them off. I said, well, I've got 33. And she said, yeah, but you gave me one out front. That's 34. Four times in a row. Folks, is that not the Lord? Oh, is he not in this ministry? Now, there's something else I really learned, and I want to tell everybody, because every one of you are candidates to do what I'm doing. And I've got a different approach to this than I did have. I haven't seen a chief yet. I walk right to the sheriff's office, DPS, and I'll walk through the front door. Somebody's going to meet you. And they don't keep them locked, incidentally. The doors are open in those law enforcement places. And you don't have to go through the protocol. You just have to open your mouth and say, hey, my name's whatever. And you tell them what you have, and that you're here to help save lives of policemen or law enforcement or sheriffs or highway patrolmen. You just wouldn't believe how much they'll take these things from you. And then along the line, I was giving out these little crosses. I didn't take a lot with me. Cheryl gave me a whole lot, and I thought, well, first of all, I got to find out if people really, really want these things like I hope they will. Man, I was running out of the lady there that let me in the front door of that last place, she ran out to the car and said, can I have four more? I said, yes, ma'am. You know, I never saw so much love as I saw with those people. Do you know, from there to Lubbock, to Vernon, to Wichita Falls, all the way, we covered 16 towns and stopped in every one of them that was on that road on our way back around down to Bedford. And was not one time that anybody said they weren't a Christian. They were all Christians, every one. And I asked an officer, I said, officer, are all your people like this? And he said, well, they've had the hell scared out of them. He said, I imagine they are, but now. So I said, well, we want to cover the entire state of Texas, and that's my goal first. But I said, we want to do this all over the nation with law enforcement, border patrol, prison guards, We want to put it in first responders' hands wherever we are. And I said, because this prayer works. It saves lives. And if you read this narrative on the front of the card, you don't have any question but what there's a God. And this is a Christian man that did that in World War I. And third, I said, it's got the ability to be able to be used as a beautiful witnessing tool to lead people to Christ. And I said, tell an officer, tell your people, if they don't know the Lord, after they read this, they should be convinced there is a God, and that the way to him and a way for the protection is to accept Jesus as Lord. Now, on the bottom part of this psalm, we have here, verse 14 is in red. And I said, here's a verse to me that I felt I wanted to put in red, because this is really what it takes. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. How much more do you want? And the good news is that you can take any one of those verses in Psalm 91 and apply it to your situation. And you say, Lord, according to Psalm 91, verse 5, it says, this, and I stand on that, Lord, and I'm expecting the protection, or I'm expecting this to happen, because you have made it possible, Lord, through your word, and your word is true and forevermore, and you esteem it higher than your name. Right? Okay. So you get to do a little preaching, a little teaching, and you show a lot of love and compassion for them. And I saw some tears. And the last guy, the last man that I talked with, I think, he had three daughters. And I told him this story. And I don't know where I was in the line of the people that I had the right number of cards for. He was by himself, looked like he's about 30. And I said, I asked him, I said, you know, the last thing we want is for you young men to... I said, I've seen all the funerals on TV I want to see. And I said, these children and these widows are without their daddies. I said, do you have a family? He said, a wife and three daughters. And I said, well, God bless you. I said, we're going to take care of this situation. So I prayed over him right then and for his family, because I said, I'm helping you on this prayer. I'm with you. I'm praying for you, because you're going to take one of these and give the rest out. And then when I did that, I just asked him, I said, can I give you a hug? He said, yeah. And I put my arm around his great big old cop, big guy, you know, and I hugged him, and I said, well, you're younger than any of my kids. And I said, but I've got grandkids the age of your daughter. So I said, I just want you to know, it's not just me. I said, I'm just a connector. I said, I work with a group of people that are back home that helped make all this possible with me. And I said, they're here tonight too. So I just wanted to tell you, it was a marvelous, marvelous trip. I can't wait to get out on the road again. Gave out we were counting a while ago, right at 1,800 cards. Yeah, now I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Thank you, because I was going to back that up with, because of what I ran into, and because we're not caring about protocol, if anybody feels led in this room to want to take 5, 10, 15, 40, 50 cards, I've got enough to take care of everybody. One hand back there. And, you know, then let the Lord lead you. But don't make this mistake. Don't, like so many people do with their Bibles, they put it on the shelf and it gets dust on it. On these are ordained of the Lord. I know the Lord's in this thing, so if you take a card, don't let it sit. Put it in the hands of somebody. The Lord will show you who to give it to. I'm convinced I always was thinking he could do anything, but I'm more convinced now than ever. Sometimes some things he really lacks a lot, and you know what? He lacks his word to go forth. Isaiah 55:11 says, my word shall not return unto me void. And this man right here and this fine lady, his wife, both got behind me. They helped me with a donation from this church to get these cards, this first 20,000. I can't wait till we go to get that next 20,000. But every one of you that gave, prayed, or were part of this, like Mike and Scott and their wives, you're all a part, and you're going to get the harvest. Right along with anybody else that works in this ministry, for this particular is going to be seed. You planted seeds. I don't know how big the harvest is. Mike says it's going to be real big.
Amen.
Well, I think that's probably covered everything. Do you have any questions of anybody?
Praise the Lord.
Anybody got any questions? Okay, well, here we go. I'm going to cut loose and thank you very much, and I'm just honored to be in front of you today, and I love every one of you. I love what you've done to help me, and we'll just leave the rest up to the Lord, but I can close with this statement. We all know what happened to the fig tree when it didn't produce any more fruit. It got chopped down. Let's not let that happen to this tree. Amen?
Amen, brother. Praise God. Okay, now one thing I want to mention to you, even before I understood the power of Psalms 91, I still, at that time, I understood the power of prayer. But I didn't really understand throwing Psalms 91 in there with it. So when I was the regional manager down here at DFW Airport for several years, all of the men that worked for me all over the country, but I had a whole bunch of them right here, but I had them in all, because I was in charge of half of the United States for them. And I prayed over my men every day. Every day. I prayed the prayer of protection over those men. I would try to get the three of the best leads that I had in my office in the morning, because I couldn't get everybody. But I could get the three leads, and for a long time we prayed over the radio so the other guys could all hear what was being said. So I would pray protection, and finally one day from corporate headquarters, you know how the corporate's got people that sit around and run numbers? They came upon me and my division, and they found out that the division I was over, as a rule, those divisions had the most number of people injured every year and anybody else in the plant. But when they checked me and my team, there was less injuries than any other. They had never had a time in history where so many men had no injuries. That worked with an organization that was so detrimental into their health. So corporate came to see me. They called me and they wanted to know how you do this. I said, what do you mean? And they said, well, you have no injuries. I mean, just you had one or two little bitty minor things, but nothing of any significance. How do you do that? I said, well, guys, it's really simple, I guess. I said, every morning I get the guys in here, or at least the leads, and I pray over all of the men for their protection. They said, you pray? You don't go through some kind of long... Surely you've gotten some kind of a plan that you put together over all the years, you know, that everybody's adhering to a certain plan to make this work. I said, no. I just ask God to protect my men every day. No accident, no injuries. Make everything run smooth. I said, I would be happy to pray for the whole company if y'all want me to. They said, but we can't have you do that. But they said, you know, you have got to stop praying over the radio. I said, why? They said, because we might offend somebody. Now see, we had all kinds of people working down there. It was all kinds of men. In fact, one of the men that worked for me was a Vietnamese. I mean, he did, all of them worked for me, but I was just the boss. They were working for these leads. I tried and tried this Vietnamese guy. He was a great big old guy. You didn't see many Vietnamese big as he was, but he was a pretty good sized guy. Since I come from Vietnam myself in the war, I went and fought in the war in Vietnam. This guy, he married a Vietnamese girl. And so I tried and tried to get him to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Now I just don't believe. I just don't believe. You know, I don't need God. Don't need, you know, I'm okay. I'm a Buddhist. I'm okay. I said, but Buddha does not answer prayer. He said, well, what makes you think your God does? I said, I know he does. Because I pray, he answers my prayer. So anyway, I said, anytime I need anything, I go to the Lord and he answers my prayer. Well, him and his wife, he come in one day and said, I've got to have some extra days off. I said, what for? He said, my wife had twins and they're both sick and she's sick and she can't take care of the children. And said, I have got to take time off. I said, do you have money saved up for this? He says, no. I said, well, I'll tell you what. Let me show you what to do. He said, what do you mean? I said, first of all, you've kept telling me you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, right? He said, no, I'm not a believer. I said, but I am. And he's my father, my brother, my Holy Spirit. He answers prayer. So I said, I'm going to show you beyond a shadow of a doubt my God is God. I said, now I'm going to ask the Father in Jesus' name to heal your two babies and to heal your wife. And when you get home this afternoon, those babies are going to be perfect. There ain't going to be a thing wrong with them. Your wife's milk's going to be good and your wife is going to be healed. And she's going to be walking around the house saying, honey, what happened? Do you know your God that well? Well, if you don't, you need to know him that well, right? Did he say, you are my ambassador?
Yes.
Mike, did the Lord say, you're my ambassador and you speak for me?
Yes, sir.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
Then don't we think it's time we start believing him?
Yes, sir.
I know you believe that. That's why I picked you out. I know you believe that. But there's a lot of other people in here that believe that too. So I prayed for that boy. I mean, I prayed right there. I raised my hands right there in my office with a glass. Everybody can see. I'm not trying to hide Jesus. I prayed. He said, I've never heard anybody pray like that. I said, go home, son. Your wife is healed. I guarantee it. Does God like it, Mary, when we guarantee his word?
Yes.
He loves it.
Yes.
There's one of my daughters that really believed me. and he will kick his iced tea off of his stool to get up to answer your prayer. When you come to him in faith, won't he, Miss Jackie?
Yes, sir.
I mean, he loves to answer your prayer. So anyway, that young boy went home. He took a couple of days off, and then he came back. And he walked in my office and said, Mr. Scribner, I need to make this Jesus Lord of my life. I said, and what did he do for you, son? He said, when I got home, my wife was like nothing had ever happened. She was totally healed. She said the babies were not crying. They were totally at peace. And my wife asked me, honey, what happened? He said, my boss prayed for y'all and me. And so he said, we're gonna just ride this out for 2 or 3 days and see what happens. I mean, you know, but after all, you know, I mean, you got to give them a break.
Yeah.
I mean, did God give us a break?
Yes.
Yes, he gave us time. So he waited a couple of days, and they still well. These babies are still well, and he's still, I mean, everybody's well. His wife's feeling good, and nobody's crying or screaming. And she said she can easily take care of those children now that they're no real problem. So he said, I can come back to work. I said, okay. And so I led him to Jesus, and he came back to work. And that man, now, you know, all you got to do is believe that this God that we serve is real. He loves to answer your prayer. Now then, well, I'm going to show you, when we talk about hearing God's voice, I'm going to show you today the very first time God spoke to me. I'm going to show you exactly what he did and how he did it. Now then, I want you to know that this God that showed me what I'm fixing to show you has spoken to me audibly over 50 times in my life. I've not just heard his voice once or twice. I mean, I told a lady this last week. She said, you've heard God's voice audible? I said, let me tell you the first 4 times, it took 8 years for that to happen. I showed her and told her the first 4 experiences I had with God, and it just blew her through the roof. And she said, that's available to me, isn't it? I said, yes, ma'am, it sure is. He doesn't love you or me anymore. He loves us all the same. But I said, you haven't been to a place where you want him to talk to you. And I said, I'm going to show you what God did to me. And I'm going to take the very first time. I mean, I was a Southern Baptist deacon, a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher. I mean, I went to church every time the door was open. I loved God. I knew God was real. But had I ever heard his audible voice? No. Did I ever expect to hear his audible voice? No. Why did I not believe? Because nobody ever told me. Maybe there was nobody in the Baptist church. Now, I find that hard to believe, because some of you have been in the Baptist church, and there's a multitude of you who held up your hand a while ago when I said, how many of you have heard God's audible voice, right?
Yes, sir.
And so you've heard it. Well, I had never heard it, never expected to hear it, didn't think it was going to work. I did not know how to make God real in nobody's life. So anyway, I was a student of his word. I loved God's word. I had been asked, I remember, when the church administrator over at Lakeland Baptist Church came up to me one Sunday, and he said, Thurman, I've been praying for a couple Sunday school teacher, and your name keeps coming up. I said, you mean, are you trying to tell me you think God is trying to tell you that he wants me to be a Sunday school teacher? He said, well, that's kind of what I'm getting. I said, well, I thought you told me that this God we serve don't make any mistakes. But I said, obviously he's made a few good ones. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? We all have been there. He ain't no way he could use me to do this. So anyway, he said, well, you go home and pray about it for a couple of weeks. I said, okay. So I went home and I prayed every day, Lord, I don't think it's possible for you to use me for a Sunday school teacher, but if you can, if you think it's possible, then I'm available. Boy, I didn't have much faith in myself, did I? No, not at all. So anyway, I'm studying the word, learning how to teach, and I remember one Sunday, some of y'all will really get a big kick out of this. One Sunday, I had taught, of course, I'd study hours to teach a 45-minute Sunday school class on Sunday morning. Well, as I'd study all those hours and get everything together and ready, one Sunday the guy said, you know, I've read ahead and I understand we're going to be talking about Paul next week. And I said, okay. He said, can you give me a little bit of overview about who Paul is? I looked at my watch right quick, and I said, well, I'm sorry, sir, but we're out of time. And I said, we'll have to just have to do that next week. Well, he said, okay. So when a lady came up to me, and she says, boy, I said, you had enough time to tell him about an overview of Paul. I said, you don't have if you don't know who Paul is. Now then, I'm the Sunday school teacher, and I don't know who Paul is, the greatest apostle on earth, and I don't know who he is. So you know how much knowledge I have about God's Word, right? Very little. And so that's why I did so much study trying to learn how to teach God's Word. Well, in the process, one day I'm there, I sit down, and the Southern Baptist Convention, they have a quarterly you go by. And this quarterly tells you what you're supposed to teach on. So I looked down, and for this next Sunday, it was Deuteronomy chapter 6. Okay. So I turned over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want us to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I want us to start with verse 1. Deuteronomy 6. I want you to look at this. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commandeth to you to teach to you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it. When I read this verse, I got down to verse 3. Go on down a couple of verses there. Now therefore, O Israel, and deserve to do it, that you may be with you, and that you may read that for me, honey.
Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey.
Okay, verse 4. Read verse 4.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Right there. When I read that line right there, something happened that changed my life forever. I heard this. Son, pay attention. I have a message for you in the next few verses. Well, I turned around to see who walked in the room. I heard an audible voice. Just as clear as I'm hearing my voice right now. Son, pay attention. I have a message for you in the next few verses. But there's nobody there. So I said, Lord, that's got to be you. I just heard you speak, and you said, son, pay attention. I have a message for you in the next few verses. And if I read, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and then I heard this spoken out loud to me, guess what you want to do? You want to go to the next verse, right? If God has just spoken to you and told you something, then by all means, if he has spoken to you, and you know it couldn't be nobody else, there wasn't nobody else in that room. Just like a while ago when Cheryl said, when the Lord came to her and told her exactly what to do. She told me that story a long time ago. And she said, that's amazing that the Lord literally told me my mother was going to try to take away my children, and I was to go to Denver, Colorado, and get there with my cousin or whatever, and so we'd be there so my mother would not take away my children. And the Lord, and I don't even know if she was saved or not at that time. She might or might not have been saved. I don't know. But anyway, she was something because God spoke to her and told her what to do, and what he told her come to pass. Exactly. And I'm sure if we had time to listen to every one of y'all's stories, if you did what God said, your story come to pass. You know, I mean, and he's going to make it come to pass. Now, if he says that in verse 4, then let's see what verse 5 says.
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might.
Now then, think about this. Now, this word that God's spoken to my heart audibly, that was not just for me, was it? If it's in God's Word, it's for everybody. It's for you, Kennard. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
So it's for you, it's for me, it's for everybody. And he said there, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. So how many of us does God want to love him with all our heart? Every one of us. That's exactly right. That's what Dave was trying to pass on to y'all earlier here today when he's talking about this one person that's got this problem that we have not been able to get this person healed. I know there's a disconnect somewhere in the love walk. Because God's word said he sent his word and healed us every time. So if we have not hit that yet, we've missed it. Now then, there's been cases where we've missed them for boys and girls, men and women, sometimes 2, 3, 4 years before we actually finally hit it. And once we go to God and find out what the sin is, and we get the sin repented, and we get back in our love walk, many of those people, and some of those children, just like little Jenna out there on the pictures on the board, although we'd prayed for Jenna for a year and a half with no results, when we finally found the mother's sin that caused that and the mother repented, and then we prayed in 2 weeks after we prayed, Jenna was completely well. Now, isn't that amazing? So you've got to find, you've got to do what the Lord says. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Now, if you just heard God tell you, son, pay attention. I have a message for you in the next few verses. And is he really saying that to every one of us in this room?
Yes.
He wasn't just talking to Thurman Scrivener. That had been in the Word for thousands of years. That wasn't just for me, was it?
No.
Who is that for?
Everybody
in this room. Everybody in the world. God wants everybody in the world to meet this criteria. And you shall love the Lord your God. And you want to see God do great and mighty things in your life? That's what you need to do. When you call upon him and you walk in a love walk with him and his people. But you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Just like that lady the other day that when I called, she had stepped out of her love walk with a woman. And I don't know how long she'd been out of that love walk, but I know that it brought cancer into her breast. And I know that whenever I told her about it, and she couldn't think of anybody she had unforgiveness with, but when I changed the terms and said, how about some bitterness? Is that minus your love walk?
Yeah.
See, it's definitely not included in the love walk, is it?
No.
So when she said, well, I do not like to be around this one lady, I said, well, that's your problem. I said, you have an unforgiveness or a bitterness toward this woman. I said, when you got there, you stepped out of your love walk. And so anyway, she said, well, I'll be happy to repent. And I said, well, that's what I think the Lord wants you to do. So she repented. And then I repented with her and asked the Lord to clean up me and her both. And then I asked the Lord to take away the knot and heal her body and all the stuff we do. We pray and rebuke the enemy and everything. And then after I talked to her just 2 or 3 minutes, whenever she reached up and felt that knot and it was gone, that's when she got really excited and started screaming over the phone. So, but when the Lord says here, and you notice where he said, and you shall love the Lord. He didn't ask you if you wanted to, did he? He commands you to love him, does he not? And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. How much of you does that include?
All.
That's pretty well the way I read it. Now, if he's speaking this to me years ago, he's speaking it to you today. There's no difference because when God spoke this to me, at the time God did this, I had a 2-year-old baby son, Timothy. And I had a 1-month-old baby daughter. Now, that was a long time ago because Tim's 42 years old now. And, of course, Amanda, she only made it to 24. At 24, she was killed in a car wreck with her mother. And so, you know, I had no idea. But you know, all I know is that when I read this, go to the next verse, verse 6. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. Now, he's fixing to give me some words. He's fixing to give you some words. And where does he say they need to be? They need to be in your heart. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. So let's see what the next verse says in verse 7. And you shall teach them. Now, these words that we're putting in our heart, then he says we're supposed to teach them. What, teach them how?
Diligently.
Diligently unto your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit us in the house, when you walk us by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. What did he leave out?
Nothing.
So you and I, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, he is telling you and me, we are to study his word, learn his word, meditate on his word, and then when we get the word in our heart, who are we supposed to teach it to? Our children. Absolutely, we're to teach it to those children. We're to be a living example. And, you know, if you, you should be like the two guys that was talking about Jesus in the military. There was three or four guys in a barracks or a room together. And two of these guys was just on fire Christians. This other guy, he was a worldly guy. And so anyway, he said that we started talking about Jesus one day and said for a couple of days, and this guy didn't say nothing. And then finally he realized we were not going to shut up. We were talking about Jesus, talking to him about Jesus. We were talking about Jesus. Finally one day he said, would you guys please shut up about this Jesus? I don't want to hear it. I don't want you talking to me no more about Jesus. So the guy said, okay, we won't talk to you about Jesus no more. But he said, we sure can talk to each other. Hey, Nate, what do you think about Jesus? I got so tickled when he said that. He said, we didn't talk to him no more, but we sure did talk to each other a lot more. I thought, you know, there's got to be more than one way to do this. You know, ain't God cool? When I think about how many of those, just think of the number of times, and it couldn't have been nothing but a coincidence that Bill Wagner had the right number of cards everywhere he went. Now, is that awesome? There ain't nobody but God could do that. It just can't be done. I mean, the first testimony, at least the one I remember about Betty, was when she told me that when she was trying to get a spreadsheet together and make it work, and she could not remember the formulas and which formula went in what cell. So she went and prayed and asked God to show her what formula went in every cell, and then she thanked him for doing it, and then she went to bed. In the night, she had a dream. She woke up the next morning. The Lord had showed her in the dream every cell and every formula, and she put every one of those formulas in the right cell. And as far as I know, that spreadsheet's still working today. Is that right, Betty? Isn't that something? That blessed my soul. When I heard her tell that testimony, I thought, now there is a true woman of God. Because, you know, instead of grumbling and complaining about something, you notice who she went to for her answer. The Lord. And the Lord showed her in that dream that night every formula and every cell it went in. And when she put all those formulas in the right cells, that spreadsheet worked beautiful and still working to this day. So anyway, is God cool? You reckon he's the best computer programmer out there? I think he is. And you shall teach these things diligently. You know, you need to talk to your children about Jesus. You know, how many of us that go through the whole day and never mention Jesus to our children? I mean, I think the other day when my son came over, we was talking about some stuff over at the gym, how he's doing things. When he got through telling me all about it, I got up, put my arm around him and said, okay, son, I'm going to pray for you. He said, well, Dad, that's what I come over here for. I come over here to get some prayer. That's the way. But why is your children like that? Because whenever I got this revelation from God when Tim was 2 years old, until he graduated from high school, I read a chapter out of this book to him and Amanda every night. every night. Did God tell me to do this?
Yes.
Is God talking to you?
Yes.
Are you supposed to be teaching your children the Word of God?
Yes.
And he said, are you supposed to study it and learn it yourself?
Yes.
Yes. Then after you learn it, you're to teach it diligently to your children. And you shall teach them diligently under your children, and you shall talk of them when thou liest down, when thou sittest up, when thou walkest in the way, and when you rise up. And all, in other words, that pretty well covers everything all the time. Let's see what the next verse says. That's verse 7. It's been pretty interesting. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Wait a minute. What does that mean? Have you ever seen anybody do that? What does it mean to bind them upon your hand? In other words, maybe you take a pen or something. If you don't, maybe you have trouble remembering like some of us do. I know none of y'all have that trouble, but some of us do. And so if I have trouble remembering what I'm supposed to do, maybe I put on there Deuteronomy 6:4. Write it out on the back of my hand. Okay, okay. Now then, if I can't remember what Deuteronomy 6:4 says, then I need to go to my, hey, you got one of them cheat sheets. So if you can have, in today's world, it's really nice to have a cheat sheet, isn't it?
Sure is.
So you can have your phone there, and your phone, you can just read it to your children. And then, like somebody asked me the other day, said, how in the world did you memorize so many scriptures in your life? I wrote back to them and told them, I said, well, I would make a flashcard, and I would put down what it is, like Deuteronomy 6:4, and then I would put it in my shirt pocket, and I would drive down the road, and when it came to a light, and the light was red, when I stopped, I whipped the card out, and I'd read it right quick, two or three times, fast as I can. Whoop, the light turns green, put it in my pocket, now I'm not reading it. Now then I quote it. I quote that verse over and over and over. Lord, I shall love the Lord your God with all my heart, all my strength. I should love you when I lie down. I should love you when I rise up. I should love you all the time. I need to teach these things to my children. So if I continually do that, it's not going to be long till I'm going to have a whole bunch of his word memorized. He says study and read his word, doesn't he, Mary? That's what he told you, right? Study my word.
Yeah.
Now then, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand and as frontlets between your eyes. Have you ever seen anybody with a cap on that had a little sign hanging down on the bill? You know, we need to. Is that what God tells us to do? I need to hang a sign out there that says, teach my children about God. You know, I wonder what that would do if you just had that little bitty sign, or maybe had it on your cap. Have your cap made and said on the outside even, remind me today to teach my children about God. You reckon that might help? Is that what God's trying to tell us? Is that what he says there? And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand and put them as frontlets between your eyes. Is that what that means? That's frontlets between my eyes. I'm supposed to have some little something hanging down here that says, teach my children about the Lord. By the way, I'm going to give you all a chance. I'm going to give you a week to study. And next week when we go to leave, I'm going to give you all a 100-question test over this information. You say, I won't be here next Sunday. Okay, I won't do it then. Or let's put it this way. If I do it, I won't tell you in advance. I'm going to be like our new president. Stop telling the enemy when you're going to do something. That's kind of crazy. Tony, as a military pilot, if you were going to go bomb somebody, would you tell them you were coming? I wouldn't. I don't think I'd tell them at all. As a military pilot, a fighter pilot like Tony was in the military, as a man that fought in Vietnam, if I was going out on a mission, I definitely would not want the enemy to know I'm coming. I would want it to be a top secret deal. Let's go to verse 9. Let's see what verse 9 says. And you shall write them upon the post of your house and on your gates. Do you reckon God is serious about this? I mean, is he really serious about how important the word is? Well, if he's really that serious, then why do so few of us know what the word says? Because, you know, we really don't study it very much, do we? Do we? Not like we should. Not like we should. We should read this book, study this word. How often would be a good number of hours, reckon, to study? And how many hours a week should we study this word? What do you think would be a good term? I mean, maybe an hour a day? 2 hours a day? I mean, an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening or something like that? I mean, do you think you can overdose on the word?
No.
So the more you study it, the more powerful you become, right? So if we know that, and I believe we do in this room, I believe we really do know that God's word is this powerful. Because in this room, we have seen, I couldn't even tell you, when my wife, before she was my wife, when I met her in a Kinko's coffee store, I had a copy of Caitlin's Miracle, and it said, Caitlin's Miracle, Jesus Heals. And Jesus the Healer. And Cheryl looked over my shoulder and said, sir, you've seen Jesus heal people? I said, oh, yes, ma'am, thousands of them. She said, can I have one of those? And I said, yes. So I give it to her, and she takes it home and reads it and finds out I have a healing school in Hearst the next Saturday. So she came, and she had an incurable disease she had had for years, 30 years. No, doctors cannot heal. Lots of people have incurable diseases that doctors can't heal. Dave had an incurable disease that doctors couldn't heal. Many of you in this room have had incurable diseases. But she listened to that, and she come to the healing school. And I told her, I said, well, young lady, that's caused by sin. You know, I said, sin is what does this. And so I said, all you got to do is repent of your sin, and I can pray for you, and my God will heal you. And so she repented for her sin. I prayed for her, and she was totally instantly healed, and she's been healed ever since. And even this little gal here that had no faith, I'm really going to lay it thick on her. She and her husband came to a healing school over in Dallas because she had back troubles for years, 7 years, and had back pain, terrible pain. And when they came to the church, they heard I had a healing ministry, but she wouldn't come forward because she was afraid I'd push her down. And she said, I've seen too much of that on TV. I ain't going down there. I'm going to sit back here by the door so if something crazy happens, I can run out. And so after the healing class was over that day, she didn't have no pain, did she, Scott?
No, she didn't.
And years later, she still hadn't had no pain. Is God good? Now do we know why he wants us to study his word?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Because if we study his word, then his best for us is we do what he says. We learn his word. We study his word. We diligently teach his word to our children and to them. And then we learn to pray in faith over our own kids. And let me tell you all something else now. This girl, I'm going to tell you how she's not very smart because she's just a school teacher. She's very smart. But this is how smart we are. Her and her husband, when they became Christians, they did read the Bible because they came out of the Catholic Church and they didn't read much there. But when they come to the Lord and got saved, she read a scripture in Matthew 18:19. And that's your favorite verse, isn't
it,
Kim?
Sure it is.
What does that say?
If two or more gathered, well...
Two or more agree.
Again, I tell you, the two or more
agree.
Agree on earth. If you ask,
he'll do it.
In my name.
And did you know the first time she read that? She said, you know, when she read that, she said, told her husband, said, honey, wouldn't it be wonderful if something like that really worked? It would be wonderful if something like that worked, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
Because if you got a scripture that comes from God that says, and again, I'll tell you the truth, that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, I'll do it for you by my Father, which is in heaven.
That's right.
What could you get done with that, Kim?
Anything and everything.
And now you know that, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Anything and everything.
But you see why they now know that when they didn't know it before?
That's right.
is because they have studied God's word.
That's right.
And then they started doing what it says. And so when they started studying his word and then acting on his word, it brought forth awesome results.
And we can guarantee it.
And we can guarantee it. Yes, you've guaranteed a lot of them since then, haven't you,
Kim? Yes, sir.
But isn't it wonderful that what God's word says, and does he love healing his children?
Yes.
He wants to heal his children.
Yes.
We just need to learn to break every curse. If there's anything wrong with you, anything, you need to realize there's a curse on your life. And that curse is there because of some kind of sin, probably that you didn't even commit. Could very well be, just like Jenna's problem out here. Jenna's mother's sin is what caused that. You know, so, but I've seen many of them. It goes back two or three generations. But the thing about it, if you got anything that's wrong with you, anything, I don't care what it is, you need to have somebody, a man of God, pray a prayer of faith over you. If you're a woman, you need your husband to pray for you. If you're a man, then you can do it yourself. But if you're a man and you really want to get set free, come to one of us, one of the people here at the prayer team, and have us break the curses over you and command those spirits of curse to leave you. And those spirits of curse, once they are kicked out, and they have to go away once you remit their sins. And that's why Cheryl and I, we love it when people call in that they can't even respond. They're out of it, you know, they're comatose or whatever. And even Sharon will tell you. She said, when I find out the people are comatose, somebody else is calling in for them, she said, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. I can remit their sin. And that's a scripture that almost nobody believes. But when you remit people's sins and get their sins taken care of, then you can pray the prayer of faith for them. You can break the curse over them, command the spirits of curse to leave those people, and those spirits will go away. And then you ask the Lord to do whatever you want him to do for them, and he will do it. And they can get set free, they can get healed, they can get delivered. I don't care what it is. You can get set free. If you can't control your life, and I don't care what it is that's wrong with you. I don't care. I mean, if you can't get rid of sex drives, you know, anything, any kind of addiction, whatever it is. I mean, people say, I just can't get over this. I eat too much. It doesn't matter what it is. It's a curse. And you can break that curse and command those spirits to leave you, and they have to go away. But you got to learn that you have to stand on God's word. You know, it's just like that guy, one time Cheryl and I was down in Dallas, and there was a guy came up at a healing school, and I said, what can I pray for you for? He said, I need a supernatural weight loss. He said, after what I've heard you teach today, I believe that God can do anything. And I said, well, sir, he can. I said, how much do you weigh? And he told me. I said, I think it was 400 pounds. So I told him, I said, okay, let me ask God to give you a supernatural weight loss. I'll rebuke those spirits, command him to leave. And within 3 months, we'll ask the Lord to cut your weight down to at least 100 pounds lower than you are now. Well, Cheryl and I went down to a little town out of south of Dallas there, and he came to it. And when he came there, he walked up to me and said, Pastor, you remember me? And I says, no, only been 3 months ago. I said, no, I don't know who you are. He said, I'm the guy that needed the supernatural weight loss. I said, oh. I said, what did God do? He said, he took off 100 pounds. 100 pounds in 3 months. Just by breaking the curses and commanding those spirits to leave. I said, now then, you need to get a hold of what you're eating and eat right. In other words, once you kick out those driving spirits, you have power and authority. It doesn't matter whether it's eating, whether it's what it is. Now, you have addiction to smoking, drinking, I don't care what it is, drugs. We have seen people with heroin addiction get set free in one heartbeat, you know, and never have another desire for another drug. Yeah, like the one Cheryl prayed for down at the Walmart or store one day. She prayed in the line with the checker. Her and her daughter, and the mother was crying, and she said, what's wrong? She said, my son's on heroin. He's a drug addict, and he's an atheist. He's lost. He's dying and going to hell. He don't even know it. And Cheryl, standing in the Walmart line, said, well, let's just pray.
Amen.
So she steps out of line to begin to rebuke the devil, break the curse over that boy, command that devil to get out of him, leave him alone, ask the Holy Spirit to convict that boy of sin. 3 months later, Cheryl's daughter was down there one day, and she seen this woman. She said, "Cheryl, you got to tell your mama what God did." Said, "My son got saved. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. He's playing drums in a cowboy church." Yeah, and he's off of heroin. He's set free. Now, what can our God do? Anything we can believe him for. That's the part. Anything. Well, do you think God can speak in tongues? Oh, I don't guess he can. Do you think God can raise the dead? Oh, no. Well, no. Do you think God speaks to us anymore? No, he don't do that no more. Well, you're in trouble. If your God is, you're limiting him by what you're saying. Now then, he can do anything. I mean, anything. There's no limit with God what he can do. I mean, Ephesians 3:20. Anybody know what that says? Can you quote me Ephesians? Let me just ask you, without having to look it up, can anybody remember what does that say?
Everything according to him. Now unto him who can do whatsoever you ask or think, imagine.
That's real close. That's real close. Anybody? You want to read it, Kim? Ephesians 3:20. Let me introduce you to the God that now can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all, that you can even think or imagine. Paula, I can think or imagine some pretty big things, can't you, girl?
Yes, sir.
And he says, everything I could even think or dream of is just a piece of cake for him.
That's right.
And we believe that?
Absolutely.
So should we be able to pray in faith about everything?
Everything.
Now to the God who can do what?
Exceedingly abundant. Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think.
Was that the NLT?
That is NLT.
Okay, I started to say I knew that wasn't the King James, because the King James says, let me introduce you to the God that can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could even think or imagine. Don't you love that verse?
Yes.
Now then, do you know him?
Amen.
Is he your God? Is he my God?
Yes.
What can he do?
Anything
I can believe him for. So there ain't no problem praying for you and getting you healed if you'll only believe and repent of sin, right? Wow. And you shall write them on the post of your house and upon your gates. That wouldn't be hard, would it? We need some kind of a sign on our post, gate post coming in the house. Remind me today to teach my family about God. The Lord told the husbands to do this. The husband is to do this. You are to teach your children. First of all, he told you to study, did he not?
Yes,
he told you to study and then diligently study these words and then teach them diligently to your children. Is that what he said? The very first time that God ever spoke to me was right there. That's my first experience with audible teaching from God. But since then, like I say, I've heard his audible voice well over 50 times. Over 50 times. And I don't even know how many times I've really heard it, because he's spoken to me so many times about things. I mean, so many things he's spoken to me about. Don't you love to hear God's voice?
Amen.
I love it. How many have heard God's voice more than one time? Wow, that's still a whole bunch of you. That's a whole bunch of you, so praise the Lord. All right. Praise God. Well, I'm glad y'all came today. We're going to have a time of prayer for people here in a minute. One thing I would like for everybody to try your best. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I would like for every one of you to make a covenant with God that as he works on your heart, this week, that you will pray for the protection of all these officers that were bills going out and all the people that are going out. And if we had little lights coming up all over the place going to heaven, and the Lord said, there's another one of my children that's praying for the police officers. If we were to do that on a regular basis, I think that next year, whenever the city would do some kind of a survey and say, this has been an extremely good year. There's not been one single police officer or fireman killed or injured in the last 12 months. Could we praise the Lord for something like that? And that, see, we should be able to do that. If the 91st Battalion went out and spent 4 years in the military fighting World War II, and because somebody's praying over the Psalm 91, over that group of men every day, in 4 years of battle, not one man got injured or hurt.
That's right. Hallelujah.
I wouldn't mind being in the military if I had men like that praying. Was you, Tony? If we had men and women with that kind of prayer, it wouldn't be no problem flying those airplanes and fighting the war, would it? Because that's what we have. That's what's available to you and me if we only believe God. Because I know that as we read those articles to you here a while back, wasn't it West Texas? Where was that little town, Bill? Wasn't that West? Where that there was 40 or 43 men or whatever it was?
Sea Drift, Texas.
53 men during World War II, and somebody prayed every day, and not one man was injured. No loss of life, and not even injury.
Wow.
So see, it works anywhere, everywhere. So will it work through this church?
Yes.
So I would like for each one of you to make a covenant between you and God this week. Lord, if you will touch my heart this week, I'll pray a simple little prayer. Lord, watch over the men, the police officers all over Texas. I mean, we're still in the Texas realm. So, Lord, in the Texas realm, all these men that Bill and whatever is going out, I ask you to send warring angels to walk around these men and protect them and keep them safe. Thank you, Lord. It's done in Jesus' name. Pray a prayer similar to that. That's not difficult, is it?
No.
Anybody could voice a little prayer like that. Do you think God could hear a prayer like that? Sure he can, and he can do something great. That's the whole thing. We think it's got to be some special prayer. It don't have to be nothing special. Just talk to your Lord. He wants to talk to you, and he wants to do great things for you, and he will do it.
Amen.
And it would be wonderful by the end of the year if we had no injuries. Yes, sir. Are we supposed to be producing fruit for our kingdom?
Amen.
We're supposed to be producing fruit for the kingdom of God. You know, we're all the church. This is all one big happy family, right? That's why we pray one for another, for each other to get healed and everything else. And that's why I love being a part of a church that believes the Word of God. I love it. Praise God. So anyway, I want my prayer warriors to stand up so you'll know who they are. And we're going to pray for people here in a minute. But everybody that's standing up, these are the prayer team members. And of course, Dave and Jeff, they're going to be back there somewhere. And they'll be praying for people. But anyway, if you need any kind of prayer, Cheryl and I will be here in the front. So if you need prayer from anybody, you can go to any one of us, the team members, and we will be happy to pray for you and believe that our Lord will meet your need, whatever it is. So praise the Lord. So, and then we're going to take as many as you want, and we're still giving away 10,000 to 15,000 a week. There's a lot of them going out. Praise God, but they're going out all over the world.
And if you want to help Bill, get some cards from him.
Oh, yeah. If you want to help Bill, Bill's got some cards. He'll give you a handful of cards. Like I say, go to a police station and go in and talk to them and tell them you'd like to leave you some of these. You'd like for the men to carry this card in their pocket, you know, because this is our protection as Christians. This is what we use to protect. And I'm standing in awe that virtually every man that he's talked to, woman too, so far has been a Christian.
Yes, amen.
Every one of them. So that'll tell you something about our police force, won't it?
Yes.
Men and women of God. So we need to pray the prayer of protection for those men and women of God. Father, we thank you for everybody that came to church today. We thank you, Lord, for blessing everyone. We thank you for blessing Bill and Betty as they went out this week and are able to share and hand out these cards to so many men and women all over the state of Texas. And Lord, may this just be a very little tiny beginning, that we will be loosed as children of God to get in here and really produce fruit for the kingdom of God and pray for these men and women. And that next year when the time comes and they do a research, that we'll find out that there has been no injuries and no loss of life to any of these men that are first responders, whether it be the fire department, police department, or whatever it is. We ask you to bless them, and there be no more loss of life for any of these men and their families. And we praise you and thank you for watching over and answering our prayers and keeping all these men and women safe. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.